Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 45, whoever among you wants to become great must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must become slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. These words take on a very special meaning for us when we remember that they fall between the transfiguration of our Lord and his passion. They form a link between the two, helping us to relate to us. That is, they remind us that we are to interpret one by the other, that the only way we can come to that transfigured glory of our Lord is by way of the cross. It is not by accident, but rather by design, that the Church has designated the gospel reading of the transfiguration of our Lord for the Sunday just prior to our entering our Lenten pilgrimage. It does so because it wants us to understand the transfiguration as the gateway to the cross, as the setting and the framework into which we are to set the cross and see it. So the transfiguration really is a lens that focuses our attention on the cross so that we can come to its true understanding and purpose and result. Certainly, as we look at the cross in view of and by way of the Transfiguration, we readily acknowledge that this was not an ordinary death, nor was the man of this death an ordinary man. And I would suggest, too, that the moment we see the Transfiguration on the cross, right in the center of it, the Transfiguration leading into the cross, we are reminded of the words of the blessed Apostle Paul, he who was rich for our sakes became poor, so that we might by his poverty become rich. And I think, too, we would naturally be reminded, as we see the glory of the Lord on that holy mountain, are reminded of the glory that he had by his divine right. That is the glory that he shared equally, always, from eternity to eternity, because of his divine nature with the Father and the Spirit. However, as we really look at the Transfiguration in view of the cross, although from one and through one to the cross, we come to realize that the glory that our Lord, in a very brief glimpse, showed to the apostles on that holy mountain was not really his glory that he has by divine right, which is always his, but rather it was to be an acquired glory that he would earn as the Son of Man by right of his victory through his suffering and death, through his humiliation. It was the glory of the Son of Man that was prophetically portrayed in the vision given to Daniel when the Ancient of Days gave authorization to the Son of Man to establish for him and his people here on earth an everlasting kingdom, and the glory that the Son of Man would come into as he and because he established that kingdom. And it certainly is the glory that every martyr sees and saw at the right of the Father before the glory of the Son of Man. And it is the glory that is pictured to us in many places in the Scriptures, thinking of one place right at the moment, the book of Revelation, where we see Christ Jesus enthroned at the right of the Father, not because of his divine right, but because of his right of the victory of the cross won through his human nature, enthroned at that glory. So the glory that we see in the Mount of Transfiguration via the cross is a part of glory that he won by that cross. But we come to realize also, when we see the apostles there with our Lord, that he won this glory not merely for himself, but also that we might have a share in it. But how pointedly As we look at the cross through the transfiguration, we are told you and I can come to that glory only by way of the cross. It is only through the suffering of the cross that our Lord reached that glory and won it. And it is only by a faith that takes a hold of that cross and lives only for it and sacrifices only for it and finds all life and hope in that cross that also can come into that transfigured glory of our Lord. And now Peter, that is James and John, they wanted to bypass that glory and come to that glory. They envisioned themselves sitting in that glory without a cross, without having reached by the cross. But the Lord told them that was quite impossible. Because of man's sin, there's only one way to that glory. And also, they wanted to bypass that cross in the life that they were going to live, at least the way they envisioned it, in the kingdom of God here on earth. That they would be saved, that they would be the object of praise and applause, But again, that was not to be the kind of life that they were to live, because they were to live, brothers and sisters, in that cross. Now, I suppose you too many times attempted to bypass the cross. There really isn't very grand and grand by in a life that we don't start in the weakness of our flesh. You know, Satan is quite content for us to have a faith that doesn't challenge us, a faith that doesn't sacrifice, a faith that doesn't crucify the flesh daily, a faith that doesn't discipline the old man, a faith that doesn't give all, not least of all, that would hold only to the cross. A faith that instead would hold everything, the false hope, and that would be content in living a life as the way I want to live it, and to do what pleases me, to live for my own enjoyment and contentment. As I say, the devil is quite content for us with the faith because it bypasses the cross, and it goes nowhere but to death, eternal. And also, Satan is quite willing for us to have a Christian life that is outwardly Christian in action and in reputation, but doesn't really serve people. Again, it lives only for self. It looks for what it can get from people. It doesn't sacrifice to bring the gospel to people. It doesn't sweat and toil and suffer to live for people in such a way that by the love of God they can see the cross. Rather, it's the kind of Christian life that seeks everything for self, to get what is best for self, at the expense of he knows what. As I say, the devil's quite content us to have that kind of a life too, because it also bypasses the cross, and it ends in eternal ruin. The transfiguration, pointing to the cross, reminds us that the faith we must have is a faith that challenges us. A faith that crucifies the flesh. A faith that lets loose of everything and holds only to the cross. A faith that recognizes sin for what it is, the most terrible enemy of our life, of the old Adam and our flesh and the world around us. A faith that disciplines life so that we can every day let loose of everything and hold to the cross. A faith that recognizes the cross as the only way to this transfigured glory of our Lord. Such a faith is wide open for the victory of that cross. Its blessings, its hope, and its encouragement. And such a faith is final as it moves on into that cross, finding all hope in that cross to the path of glory. Such a faith also motivates us to live a life that does not bypass the cross, but lives a life that is dedicated to that cross in such a way that we give everything for that cross so that we might bring it to other people. We'll suffer for people, we'll even die for them, we'll sweat and toil for them, all for the purpose of a life of righteousness invented by that cross. To show this cross to them as the way to life and death all around. Such a faith never bypasses the cross, because through the cross it sees the only way, the only path, the eternal glory. Isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, that we have the transfiguration before the cross and the resurrection after it? The transfiguration tells us as we look for human repentance and faith that even before the events the outcome is known. That cross was going to be a victory, no matter what. No matter what suffering and what suffering there was at that cross. And as we look at the cross of your transfiguration, no matter what we suffer as we hold to that cross, no matter what we suffer to make us to hold to that cross by word and sacrament and experience in life, we know the victory already. The glory that our Lord gives us a glimpse of on that holy mountain is ours now by faith because of that cross. The outcome is already assured to us, so that no matter how much we go into the cross and into the valley of darkness of death, we know the outcome. What we saw on that holy mountain, that's the outcome. And the resurrection coming after the cross is the amazing hand of God confirming the victory of that cross and confirming to us this glory that is ours by that cross. But brothers, we keep the cross in the center between the two. Because we're not there yet. And therefore, we must let that cross be our life, our hope, our everything. Because it is, and will ever be, until we're there, the only path to that transfigured glory that our Lord wants us all to have. In his holy name, Amen.